and opened into the rubble-strewn remnants of a wide corridor. Ryan wasn't surprised to find, when he reached the top, that there were no signs of anyone having entered the redoubt since their last departure from it. The dust that lay thickly over everything around the inner passage was undisturbed. The rows of concealed lights in the curved ceiling had all been destroyed, and the carved-out interior of the mountain was almost dark. Now, Trader stood in the small anteroom, staring at the door into the Matrans chamber.
Yeah. So this is your box of tricks, is it, Ryan?
Yeah. We close that door, the metal discs in the floor and ceiling glow. There's a kind of mist filters down from the top. You become briefly unconscious.
We figure that's the actual moment of leaving here and being transmitted or transferred all the way to there.
Wherever that is!
Yeah. That's the most interesting part of all this, son.
What's that panel of numbers and letters by the side of the door?
Control codes. Sadly, at the time of what is called Skydark, all of the relevant documentation and comp disks were wiped clean, or destroyed, or have simply quite vanished. So we have no way at all of understanding what any combination might do.
Why not just hit two or three at random? See what happens.
No. Some of the redoubts built at the very end of the 20th century, before the big fires and the long winters came, were destroyed. Probably a whole lot of them were. We'll never know. And the rest have been mainly hidden since then. We kind of luck into them from inside when we jump. But some have been damaged.
So?
So, the fact that we've never jumped into a vacuum or into the middle of a million tons of powdered concrete and crushed steel indicates there's a safeguard built in. Hit the buttons at random, and it could override that safety device.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean, Ryan.
So, is everyone ready?
Are you sure that little box of silvery glass will hold us all?
Sure.
Is there time for me to go back and find some place to take a leak?
You make one of these jumps, you'll probably piss yourself anyway, so why bother?
Doc hefted his sword stick toward Abe.
There's no call for that, Abraham.
It's just a small joke, Doc.
Very small, and not much of a joke either. Rather like yourself. I would have thought that an apology to the lady might be in order.
Let it be, Doc.
No, I'm sorry, Suki. It's stupid of me. I guess I'm strung up and wound over for the jump.
One by one, they filed into the six-sided chamber, all sitting in a circle, backs against the cool walls of silver armor glass. Here in the heart of the Matrans unit, there was ample lighting to see what was happening, powered by the original nuke gen that still worked diligently away somewhere in the bowels of the ancient redoubt. Ryan waited outside until everyone was comfortable, guns stashed safely. JB had taken off his glasses and folded them into one of his pockets, placing his fedora on the floor at his side. Then he locked his fingers with those of Mildred, sitting next to him. He winked up at Ryan. Dean and Christy had left a gap between them for when Ryan would close the door and trigger the mechanism. Ryan noticed that Christy's sentient hair was now curled defensively and tightly at her nape, its bright flaming color dimmed by anticipation of the jump to come. Nobody liked jumping. Trader entered as though he half expected to see a panther lying curled in one corner of the chamber. He sat stretching his legs, settling the armalite on his lap, his finger ready inside the trigger guard. He looked around him in what Ryan knew from long memory as being something as close to nerves as the old man would ever show. Abe perched happily beside him, next in the circle to Mildred, with Doc on his other side. Doc waited until Suki had sat, tucking her booted feet beneath her, nervously brushing her fingers over her divided skirt. Doc reached for one of her hands and pressed his lips to it.
I promise and vow that no harm shall come to you, my dear lady, as long as I live to be your champion.
He sat and leaned back, closing his eyes. Jack entered the chamber like a cat, sitting in one corner between Suki and Christy. He ran his long pale fingers once through the mane of stark white hair, and also closed his eyes and relaxed. Ryan glanced behind him from long habit, seeing that he was now quite alone, except for the banks of desks and tiny multicolored lights.
Everyone ready? Okay, here we go.
Just at the moment when the lock clicked firmly shut and Ryan moved to sit down, he caught the look on Suki Smith's face. He couldn't remember seeing such deep, superstitious terror on a human visage before. It was as though she'd been dragged to the brink of the fieriest pit in hell and been forced to stare into it. At that moment, Ryan knew that something was going to happen, and that he was the only one who could do anything to try to prevent it. But Dean grabbed his hand, and Christy took the other, and the moment had gone. The metal discs above and below him started to glow brightly, and the lights outside seemed to have become much dimmer.
No!
What?
The gray-white mist appeared at the top of the silver-walled chamber, writhing lower. Ryan battled hard to keep his one eye open. He wrenched his hand free from his son.
Dad?
But Christy had a grip like steel, and Ryan could do nothing to free himself from her. He saw JB reacting, but it was an eternity too late. Suki was already up into a crouch, starting to move clumsily toward the chamber door, her mouth working.
I'm so sorry, Doc. I have to see my sister. Doc, I'm so sorry.
Ryan noticed that there was a small pool of liquid where the woman had been sitting. That made no sense at all to him.
Suki, don't...
Now the familiar black waters of the jump were sucking him down into their whirling center. The last thing Ryan saw was a dark figure, oddly opaque, cross his line of sight. Ryan opened his eye and closed it again immediately. The sensation of vision, no matter how blurred and out of focus, was enough to bring on a gripping bout of boiling sickness. He swallowed hard, tasting the acid bitterness of bile at the back of his throat. His right hand reached down for the butt of the Sig Sauer. He decided to take the chance and carefully eased open his right eye again. This time, the sickness was less insistent. The first impression he had was the certainty that the jump had at least carried them away from the partly ruined redoubt in New Mexico. The silver armaglass had gone, replaced by walls of vivid flame-like orange, a color so hot and bright that it almost hurt to look at it. The door was shut firmly, but there was something on the floor by the entrance that looked like the broken heel of a woman's boot. Ryan glanced around the six-sided room, checking that everyone had made the jump. But Suki Smith was missing. Doc had fallen sideways into the space where Suki had been sitting. His hair was ruffled, a tiny worm of dark crimson blood creeping from the corner of his open mouth. JB and Mildred seemed to have supported each other through the jump. Both still sat upright, though both were unconscious. Abe had been sick all over his shirt and pants, his face the color of flour and water paste. His lips moved, but no sound came out. Jack had pulled his bony knees up under his chin. His ruby eyes were slit open, staring toward Ryan, but there was no indication there that he had actually come around and was seeing anything. Dean was showing signs of recovery, his tongue licking his dry lips. His right hand was trembling. Ryan glanced up and saw that the last swirling fragments of the mist were evaporating. Trader had slipped sideways into a kind of fetal position. It took Ryan several seconds to work out quite what had happened. As soon as he realized, he pulled himself from Christie's grip. He tried to move across the smooth floor, though it involved an enormous effort of will. The Armalite was now cradled by the prone figure, the butt between the trader's knees. Trader's index finger was snugly around the trigger of the gun, and the muzzle was between his lips.
Fire blast.
Hi, Dad. What are you...
Shh. Quiet, son.
Jack was moving as well, with an exaggerated slowness, squinting across at Trader. If anyone disturbed Trader or forced him into a sudden movement, then the finger would squeeze the trigger.
Don't touch his hand.
Ryan reached his old war chief, seeing the first flickering movements that meant he was coming around.
Safety. Put on a safety.
Ryan gripped the scarred barrel of the gun in his left hand and carefully eased the safety from the fire position with his right. Trader's eyes snapped open, staring blankly into Ryan's face. totally without any recognition.